Book of Isaiah, chapter number 66. And I'm interested in one verse, verse number 13. Isaiah 66 and verse number 13. There is a principle here, and of course you can find it on up in verse number 11, and then partly in verse number 12. And if you read those two verses, then you look in verse 13, you understand the context. The Bible declares, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. As a mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Now, I'm going to, on Mother's Day 2009, I'm going to say something fairly controversial, but I want you to stay with me. Now, it's in the Bible. I want to share with you some thoughts concerning the motherhood of God. Now, immediately when you say that, people go, well, now, wait a minute. Well, let me say, I'm not out of the book. I'm not going New Age. We're not talking about Mother Earth here. And I'll share some truth with more about that in just a moment. But the Scripture says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Let's bow our heads together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us in power. Give us what we need this hour. And Lord, speak to your people, we pray. Save the soul that's nearest hell. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Now, the idea of a female deity is not something new. As a matter of fact, many of the deities were feminine. Much of the New Age today is feminine. Mother Earth, and of course, the worship of Mother Earth. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that we have been targeted by the New Age crowd is because of Mount Pisgah and Mount Mitchell. And they actually think that this is the breast of Mother Earth. And so they're coming to this geographical location. There's even some things now that they're talking about, mystical things about the French Broad River. I ain't never seen nothing mystical about it. But that's what they're saying. We used to wouldn't eat fish caught out of it. I remember a time that you could take your dog, if it had the mange, throw it off of Davis River Bridge up around Old 64, and it'd cure the mange. Because the river was blue looking, and you just throw your dog in there, it wouldn't. You could, it'd take a hair off, but after it come back, he'd look good. Whatever was in that river, it was rough. I mean, I ain't kidding you. You think I'm kidding? It would cure the mange, wouldn't it, fellas? You could throw your dog in a river, just take it, throw it off a bridge, and it'd swim out, and there wouldn't be no hair left on it, but when it growed back, it'd be fine. Cure the mange. And so if they could have seen it then, they don't realize that Rosman discharges their sewer into the river, Bavard discharges their sewer into the river, Hendersonville, I think, over here, I don't know. But anyway, my point is that female deity is not something new. And I'm not in any way suggesting that God is a woman. No, not at all. Matter of fact, I'm not even suggesting that God has feminine qualities. No, our motherly qualities. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just the opposite. I'm saying that the motherly qualities come from God. The qualities that God gave mothers come from God Almighty. And as Brother Rush sang, it strikes a chord and a note in our hearts. There's something about a mother's love. There's something about a mother's care. There's something about that bond between a mother and daughter and a mother and son that you will find no other place on earth other than in the Scripture comparing the love of God toward His young'uns. And He said, I'll care for you. I'll comfort you. As a mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And I want to say I'm glad today that the Lord, He knows how to mother us and to father us and to be our friend and our brother. I'm glad the Lord knows exactly what we need and when we need it. Now, may I say for those that may be here and maybe you were not raised by a natural mom, maybe you didn't have that situation, maybe you were adopted, maybe you were raised in a foster home, maybe you did not have the ideal situation, and when you sing songs about mother, it does not bring a tear to your eye. Well, I'm glad to report to you that's all right, because I'm glad that God can be more to you than a physical mother ever could. And I'm glad God will mother you and He'll comfort you in your time of need, in your hour of need. And as I thought on these things, how that the Lord, of course, we know that He birthed us. We've been seeing this for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We've been in the birthing room where the Lord has been birthing youngins. And it's been exciting. Praise God. Never seen anything like it. No way to describe it. It's unbelievable, undescribable, and undeniable what God is doing. And it's amazing to see how the Lord... And you know what? You know what is getting most folks? It's interesting to me. Although Brother Chris has been preaching hard, but it's not been judgment that's been getting people to God. You know what it's been? The love of the Lord. God's love. God's mercy. God's long suffering. Those things seem to be what's drawing people to Him. And I'm glad that that's the case. I'm glad that God is comforting and God is wooing and God is bringing those unto Himself. And I'm glad even right now, hallelujah, even this morning, just as a farmer, I would have an incubator and be heating the eggs and be getting ready for the eggs to hatch. I'm glad to report to you that God is brooding over some folks this morning. I'm glad to report to you the Holy Ghost is already stirring and brooding over some folks. Now, they didn't know it. They come to church because it was Mother's Day. They didn't come because they were looking for necessarily anything spiritual. They just come, in many cases, out of obligation. But let me tell you something. God had something else in mind. And I'm fully expecting this morning for God, the Holy Spirit, to move and to draw and to bring souls unto Himself. I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was Mother's Day night. And you know, Mother's Day is always a big day. And you know, a lot of churches now cancel services on Sunday night. We never have. And we had preached, I guess, Mother's Day that morning. I don't remember. It was in the old church. And that night, Mother's Day night, I preached just a regular message. I mean, nothing spectacular. And I don't even remember what it was, just a regular message. And gave a little simple invitation. And I saw my daughter get up and start down the aisle, brokenhearted. And she got born again. And she'll tell you to this day, that's where she got saved at. And you know what's amazing? How many? 23 years ago. And you know the amazing part? I'm her dad. I didn't even know God was dealing with her. I'm so stupid. I didn't even know. Hey, I had no clue what I was doing. I had no clue what God was doing. I mean, it took me off guard. It caught me by surprise. And I'm her father. But I'm glad, hallelujah, that there's a God in heaven that was a brooding over her soul. I'm glad that God was a stirring and God was a working. And I'm glad that God was keeping everything the right temperature. Not too hot, not too cold. He was keeping everything just exactly like it ought to be, that He might birth someone into the family of God. I've said this, and don't get me wrong. I detest what's going on in Washington right now. I detest what's going on and how our Constitution's being eroded. I detest what's going on the national scene. I'm aggravated, mad, and insulted over what's happening with our economy and our national pride and all these other things. And it's absolutely driving me bananas. I mean, I hate it. I can't stand it. But hear me well. If that's what it took to turn the heat up on some souls, like turning the eye up on a gas cook stove, I mean, just run that flame on up a little bit. If that's what it's taken to get America to God, if that's what it's taken to see close to 200 souls come to know Christ in just in our area in the past 2 or 3 weeks, almost 200 in the upstate in the past 2 or 3 months, if that's what it's taken to see 400 souls in the Western Carolinas come to Christ, hey, you look at me, amen's what I'm going to say. Again, I ain't amen in that mess, but I'm amen in the God of heaven who knows just exactly what it takes to brood over His youngins. I'm glad He knows what it takes to brood over the soul of a lost sinner. And I'm glad that in the midst of all that's going wrong, I'm glad to report to you there's something that's going right. man. I'm glad that the God of heaven is overruling. He is, the God of heaven is vetoing. The God of heaven is absolutely, I've given some executive orders above and beyond anything that this whole world has ever understood. And I'm glad that He's in control. I want to look this morning, and interestingly, I've chosen from the Scripture three animals that the Lord uses in the feminine sense, three animals that God uses as mothers to exemplify and to tell a little bit about the motherly qualities that God shows forth to His youngins. And the first one I want to look at is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. If you want to flip there with me, that's back toward the front of your Bible. Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Oftentimes in the Scripture, God refers to the eagle. First time I ever saw an eagle in person, I was amazed. I'd seen some pretty big crows. I mean, back in Salika, we used to have crows as big as pullet hens, you know, they're pretty good size. And I've seen a couple of hawks come in after the chickens, and they're pretty big hawks. And we'd always, you know, hated chicken hawks coming in stealing the chickens. The first time I saw an eagle in full spread up close, I was amazed. I was almost afraid. If you've ever seen an American bald eagle up close, you know what I'm talking about. They are an enormous bird. And when their wings are stretched, they're amazing. As a matter of fact, Brother Todd Bell's flying a Piper 140. He's coming out of Asheville. He's heading toward Mount Mitchell. Between Pisgah and Mitchell, he's heading, I guess, toward Tennessee. He's flying, I don't know, I guess he's probably come out of the pattern. I guess he's about 5,000 feet above sea level, somewhere in that neighborhood. And he said he looked through the windshield of the airplane and he saw something. You're always watching when you're flying visual flight rules, making sure there's not another airplane coming at you. And said he saw something, looked like an airplane, but he wasn't sure. And said the further he went, the closer it came. And said finally, when it was almost too late, almost at the point of collision, he realized it wasn't an airplane at all. Because of the size of it, he figured it was still a good ways off. But little did he realize that he had been attacked by an American bald eagle. An eagle attacked a Piper 140 airplane between Mitchell and Pisgah at about 5,000 feet. This eagle came in with talons exposed and came toward the windshield. Todd said he had to shove the yoke forward and to dive the aircraft away from the eagle. The eagle was coming through the windshield. He was in his airspace. And you got to think about it. Eagle ain't afraid of anything. It's the top of the food chain. There are no predators that's as fast or as high or other than man. There's nothing that will go after an eagle. And so the eagle, hey, he has no fear. And so it attacked an airplane. And I'm not talking about Alaska. I'm talking about here in the Western Carolinas. Well, the Scripture says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32, and in verse number 12. Actually, I'm going to back up and read a couple of verses in verse number 9. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 9. For the Lord's portion is His people. Think about that just for a second. The Lord's portion is His people. Do you realize that God puts, hey, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but He doesn't say that's His portion. Do you realize He owns all the golds, the rubies and the diamonds in the hills, but He doesn't say that's His portion. Do you realize that all the riches and all the wealth and everything that's in this whole world, God owns, God created, God made, and they're His by title deed. That is not what He says His portion is. You know what the Lord says and brags about the most? Just like a mother. If you ask a mother what's the most precious thing to her, she won't say it's her car, although she may have a nice car. She won't say it's her house, although she may have a nice house. A mother won't say some possession when you say what's the most precious thing on earth. Of course, we know in heaven, but on earth, what's the most precious thing? You know what a mother will say? My youngins, my children. They're the most precious thing in the world to me. You know what God says about His young'uns? He said the Lord said His people is His portion. The portion is His people. And He went on to say Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Now look with me in verse number 10. He's talking about the children of Israel. And he says, He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Look in verse number 11. As an eagle. As an eagle. Look at this. Stirreth up her nest. Fluttereth over her young. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So did the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. Can I share with you just a little bit about eagle here for just a moment? When we first went to Alaska, our first trip to Alaska, we came into a port on a ship and we saw an American eagle and we got the camera and we were snapping pictures of this eagle. We said, boy, that's a rare opportunity. We'll probably never get to do this again, to see an eagle this close. But the further north we went, the more I realized it wasn't going to be no shortage of eagles. Matter of fact, when you get to Alaska, folks, they're like seagulls. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Literally, they were down there in Juneau in the bay, and the eagles were as populated. There were as many American bald eagles as there are seagulls in Charleston. And I'm not exaggerating. Most amazing things. We saw them fishing. We saw all these things happening. They're everywhere. Big, huge American bald eagles. When I got really excited about the eagle is when I began to study a little bit about how the eagle nests and how it raises its young. The Bible says that the eagle stirreth up her nest. If you've ever seen an eagle's nest, you'll remember it. Because it's not like a little bird nest. An eagle's nest is huge. And they carry full-size limbs. They don't carry little branches. They carry big limbs and lodge up in the tree. And every year they add to that thing. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I saw one down in Florida at Cape Kennedy, a big eagle's nest. I mean a huge one in a tree. You can't miss it. And every year that eagle gets in there and reinforces that thing and makes it stronger and stirs it and adds new branches and new twigs to it. And that mother eagle is constantly remodeling. Now, men, you know where that comes from. I mean, that mother eagle, she's never satisfied. You know, when she paints the wall and she needs new carpet. And then when she gets the new carpet, it don't match the curtains. And so we need new curtains. And the new curtains don't match the new bedspread. So we've got to change the bedspread. And while we're at it, why don't we do the next bedroom and the kitchen and the living room? Say amen, gentlemen. You know why that is, don't you? They watch that Home and Garden television. I'm going to ban that stinking channel from my house. That thing's cost me more money than anything I've ever seen. And you know what it is? They'll say, now we're going to remodel this house and we're going to do this and such and we'll be right back after this commercial break. And in 2 minutes they come back and it's finished. And so the women think that you just do it in 2 minutes, you know. Well, on HGTV it only took them 2 minutes, honey. I mean, they had the two commercials and they had it done. Lord deliver, baby. Don't you understand there's a whole crew of people come in there when the camera ain't looking and do all this stuff and do all these things? She said, yeah, but that ain't what, I mean, just two fellas and they, this woman and this man, and they redid this whole house in 1 weekend. I said, you ought to have married Bob Vila is all I can tell you. Huh? I hate that guy, by the way. I hate him. All right? He is banned from being watched in my house. No, sir. Bible says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. And look at this word, fluttereth over her young. What does flutter mean? I looked it up and it means brood. Now, the word brood can be used in a couple of ways. It can be used if you have a brood of chicks. That can be talking about the group that was hatched together. If you talk about to brood over something, there's a storm of brooding. That's what it means, that it's hatching, it's forming, it's getting ready. But when you talk about an eagle fluttering or stirring, an eagle fluttering over a nest or brooding over a nest, you know what that means? She's inspecting those eggs. She's turning the eggs. She actually takes her beak and rotates the eggs and turns them over, making sure that they stay the right temperature, that they stay turned, and she is constantly working over that nest. And they tell me that when an eagle is sitting, she won't leave the nest. She'll stay right there. And oftentimes the mate will bring what food she has to her. Oftentimes she'll lose a third of her body weight while she's brooding. But her number one concern is those eggs. And the scripture says as she fluttereth over her young, and once those young'uns hatch, once those baby eagles hatch, the scripture says that she spreadeth abroad her wings. Do you understand that that eagle in the midst of the storm, she don't leave the nest. She extends her wings. She don't try to keep herself dry, just the opposite. She extends her wings and she covers those little eagles from the sun, from the rain, from the cold, from everything. And she takes the punishment. She takes the elements. She takes the lick, if you will, so that those little baby eagles won't have to. Does that sound like somebody you know? Does that sound like the God of heaven? Well, the Bible said she spreadeth abroad her wings, and look at this, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. Now, when this was written, no one had any idea because nobody had ever been able to see from the aspect. The Holy Ghost of God told us something right here that man had never seen or experienced. It's not, hey, in the day of Moses, there was nobody that could get up above an eagle in an airplane or a hang glider. There was nobody that could observe an eagle from a hot air balloon with a long-range camera and a long-range lens. But the Holy Ghost knew what the habitat of an eagle was and what they did. And the truth of the matter is, NASCAR didn't invent drafting, fellas. Y'all know what drafting is at Talladega? You know what that is? You understand that NASCAR didn't come up with that? That the God of heaven taught the mother eagle how to draft and how to draft her young. And when they would begin to fly in their awkwardness, when they would leave the nest and begin to spread their wings from the first time, and they're not that big, they're fairly small. But that mother eagle would swoop down and it looks as if almost that the little eagle's riding on her back. And I've heard some preachers say they do ride on their back. But I've studied it pretty closely and they tell me that they're not actually riding, they're drafting. That when they come in, the mother will come down underneath them, and because of her aerodynamics and because of the size of her immense wingspan, that little eagle will get right in an air pocket almost, and it's almost effortless for him because mama does the flapping and he's just along for the ride. But over time, he realizes as he's being pulled along, he realizes how this whole thing works. And he begins to get a little flap of his own. And he begins to get strengthened and begins to build confidence. And before you know it, the little eagle begins to soar out away from mama and take a few flaps of his own and then make his way back in and fly back in that draft. Fly back in to that being bore up on her wings. Can I say hallelujah? That as God's young'uns mature, isn't that just like Him? Hey, we're never far from His reach. We're never far from His all-seeing eye. We're never far from the cover of His wings. But if we do stray off on our own, I'm glad that the wings of God are ever extended, that we can come back. When we get so tired and we feel like we can no longer fight the gale and fight the storm and fight the adverse winds of life, I'm glad He's right there with His wings spread abroad to bear us up once again. I'm glad to report to you that as an eagle, the Bible says, understand that if that little eagle was left in the nest, it would never live up to its fullest potential. As a matter of fact, that word stirreth the nest, some say that means that literally that eagle, when the little ones get big enough to fly, but they don't, hey, why would you fly when mama brings you all the food? Why would you fly when you got such a nice, comfortable nest? They say that they will begin to cut off the food supply little by little, and they'll give the babies less and less, and then mama will begin pulling some of the sticks up. and she'll fix it where it's not so very comfortable. She'll stir the nest to where the little eagle, it ain't like it once was. It's all soft and warm and all protected. Hey, he'll actually make it a little bit uncomfortable. The mother will, so that little eagle will be willing to leave the nest. Sometimes the adversities of our lives is so that as an eagle, God will cause us to spread our wings and cause us to leave the place of safety and the place of security and step out by faith. Can you imagine being a little eagle perched up on the edge of a cliff looking thousands of feet below you? Can you imagine the faith that it takes to step out of that nest for the first time? I mean, hey, I'm not an eagle, but I guarantee you, Mom would have to kick me. I ain't lying. She'd have had to boot me out of there. I ain't leaving. I'm staying here on the nest. Of course, there's a story, you may have heard it, about an eagle that was raised in a chicken lot. Somehow or another, an eagle's egg was put under a hen, and the eagle grew up with the chickens, and it pecked around the yard like the chickens, and it acted just like a chicken. And it would watch the big bird soar and never knew that it was an eagle. It lived and died its life as a chicken bound to this earth. How many young Christians do you know of that have never realized their full potential as eagles? They've never left the nest. Let me hurry. I don't have time to hardly even deal with these others. But the Bible also deals with as a bear. Hosea 13, I meet them as a bear that is bereaved of their whelps. Very quickly, tell you something about a bear. Preacher friend of mine's son went to Alaska 3 years ago, 4 years ago as a fishing guide. And he said his job was to take people out and to salmon fish and to fish for other fish there in the big rivers. He had a fly rod and he had his pack with him. And it's a couple. He's got a couple with him. And he takes them out and they're paying big money to be guided out to fish. And so he sets them in a place and they're casting. And he starts up the river scouting some other holes. He's taking his rod and popping the water, see if anything responds. And he kind of getting the fish worked up so he can call them up and make sure they can catch it. And so he's up here testing the waters. And he looks behind him and here is a full-size grizzly. It's walked out to the water's edge. And now that grizzly is between him and the two people he's guiding. They were trained in the guide camp that whatever you do, you protect the people you're guiding. Your life, you have to agree that you're going to give your life, if necessary, to protect these people that we've entrusted to you. I don't know if I'd sign that agreement or not. They didn't let them carry guns, didn't even let them carry bear spray. I said, well, what in the world did you do? He said, I've done the most unnatural thing I've ever done in my life. I said, what's that? He said, I circled around, got between the bear and the couple, and he said, I started toward the bear, hollering, you get out of here. He said, I started kicking water at it. He said, I picked up some rocks and throwed at it. He said, I took my fishing pole and held it up and I said, I'll wear you out. You better get out of here. I'm going to wear you out. I said, that bear looked at him like he's crazy. He said, but the most unnatural thing you've ever done is to charge a grizzly bear. He said, it just ain't in the human nature. He said, I had to make myself. He said, but guess what? It thought I was crazy. Said, I ain't going to eat this crazy human. He probably catch something. He probably got rabies or something. I ain't about to eat him. And said he turned and run off into the woods. But he also said this. He said, they trained us that would happen. With one exception. If you ever get a sow and she's got cubs, if you start toward her, if you holler at her, if you threaten her in any way, you're a dead man because she will kill you. Said, now you can spook a male. You can spook even a young female. You can spook them. You can stare them down. You can holler at them. You can throw stuff at them. but said, if you see a grizzly with cubs, you best get out of there, because she will die defending those cubs, even a perceived threat. You don't have to mess with them. She just got to think that you might be thinking about it, and she will maul you to death. Well, the scripture said, as a bear that is bereaved of their whelps. Let me give you one more right quick. The book of Matthew, chapter number 23. One of the most memorable places. I don't know why. I guess God just spoke to my heart there. I come down off the Mount of Olives in Israel. As you climb down off the Mount of Olives, there's a road that winds its way down, and you walk down, and you're looking right at the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem. And right as you get about even with the gate, or maybe just a little above it, there's a little place on the trail. There's a little chapel. And that little chapel is built in the shape of a tear vial. It's got little tear vials on four corners of it. And you go inside of it, and there's a glass. And as you look down, there's a mosaic of a red hen and little yellow chicks, and she's trying to gather them. And the scripture is found there, Matthew 23, verse number 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy chick children together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. And you would not. And you would not. The Lord compared himself to a mother hen. Said, if you'd have let me, I'd have gathered you. But you wouldn't. I read a story about a prairie farmer in the move west. And they had, they were just about at the point of starvation. And they had a little sod place that they had built. They'd carried a couple of chickens with them on the wagon west, and they'd set up on the prairie somewhere out west, and it was a hard existence. And one late fall day, a thunderstorm came, lightning struck, and started a prairie fire. And the prairie fire, you could see it coming, you could see it rolling. The man grabbed his wife and his children and a tow sack, run down to the creek, wet the tow sack. They lay down the creek. They covered themselves with a wet tow sack. And said the flame just roared through, and it come right through their farm, everything, and it jumped the creek, jumped where they were, and burned out of sight. Said when they got up out of the creek soaking wet, his wife and his child, and he walks up to the farm, and everything's gone. The crop's ruined. Everything's gone. I mean, everything's burnt. And he begins to walk through the barnyard. And he says, we'll starve to death. All of our livestock's gone. Everything, hey, we'll starve to death. And said, there's a big old hen laying there dead. Head plopped over. Out of frustration, he walked up to that old hen and it singed feathers. He kicked it. And when he did, here's all the little diddles. All the little dibs. Running around under. That mother hen, when she could not run, outrun the storm, she instead hunkered down. And her feathers and her body became a shield from that fire. And she gave her life so that those little dibs, those little diddles, might live. And the story went on to say it was from those chickens. And thankfully there was some roosters and some hens in the group. And it was from that the farmer got his start back. And said when he kicked that hen over and he saw that those little innocent chicks underneath, that the words of Matthew came to him, as a hen gathereth her chicks. And it gave him hope that God would provide, and said God did provide. But said that prairie fire took everything that they had. But when he saw the determination of that hen to survive, he decided he would have that same determination to continue to live there in the prairie and to raise his family. Can I say that as the fires of hell came upon the human race, the Son of God extended His wings and He covered us with His wings, and He took the blunt and the punishment of eternal flames of hell that you and I might live. All you got to do is run for the safety of his wings. I want to ask you this morning, are you under the safety of his wings? Do you know, hey, are you been that little rebellious chick that's tried to outrun the fire? Are you going to do it your way? You're going to have it your way. You're going to run and you're going to do and you, hey, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, understand that attitude will get you in the fires. But it won't be just a prairie fire, it'll be an eternal fire. But if you'll realize you can't, then only God can. As an eagle that beareth up her young, as a bear that protects her, guards her from the enemy, as a hen that gathers the chicks from the evil, if you'll come to him, I can promise you, as so many more have experienced in the past weeks, God will save you from your sin and protect you from the consequences of the eternal wrath and judgment of Almighty God.